Welcome and bienvenidos a todos. Today is Monday, the 23rd of September, and you're listening to another episode of the Democrats Abroad Hispanic Caucus podcast. Democrats Abroad is the official branch of the DNC reaching out to 9 million U.S. citizens living overseas. Our Hispanic caucus has 500 members, both expats who moved abroad and U.S. citizens who are born abroad, and we deliver absentee ballots in every election with help from the free and nonpartisan online tool, votefromabroad.org. We do this podcast to inform our community and urge overseas Americans to vote. I am your host, Allison Maciejewski. I am Chilean-American living in Prague, Czech Republic, and I vote in San Francisco, California. And with me today is my co-host, Anne.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anne Hesse. I live in Stuttgart, Germany, and I vote in Monterey County, California. I chair our DA Global Women's Caucus, and I'm really excited to be with you all today.
Wonderful. On today's podcast, we are discussing reproductive freedom and women's rights. Our guest is the organizing and community manager at NARAL Pro Choice Colorado. Bienvenida and welcome to Justine Sandoval.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us today, Justine. How about starting off by just telling us about yourself and what led you to your work, the work that you do today?
Sure. Well, I identify as Chicana. I am a fifth generation Coloradan, and I have been working in politics for about 15 years now, mostly doing campaign work and election work. I'm also the president of the Denver Young Democrats, so very involved in party work. But about 5 years ago, I was asked to come work on a campaign at NARAL Pro-Choice Colorado that was fighting a ballot initiative that would have banned abortion in Colorado. And I got hooked. I was like, I should have been doing advocacy work this entire time because there are so many layers to this issue and why it's vital that we have reproductive rights and access for people all over the world.
Can you break down for the listeners, what does NARAL do, and can you describe the role that you're currently in?
Absolutely. So NARAL Pro-Choice Colorado is the political arm of the pro-choice movement. Colorado was actually the first NARAL chapter before the national organization. So we are under a national organization, NARAL America. People are familiar with Planned Parenthood or clinics that provide services. We are the political group that goes through and makes sure that Planned Parenthood stay open and all of these groups are able to stay open and people have access to reproductive health care. Actually, Colorado was the first state to legalize abortion before Roe. And it's really interesting because at the time it was sponsored by a Republican senator and signed into law by a Republican governor. So it's really interesting to see how far we've come on this issue and where people, what sides they're on now. Colorado, NARAL Colorado works hard to make sure that we're protecting access to safe and legal abortion, access to birth control, but not only that, that we're also, you know, protecting people through the entire reproductive system. So we work on things like paid family leave. I'm advocating for affordable childcare. Right now in Colorado, a year of childcare is about the same. It's actually almost exactly the same price as a year of college tuition. So these are issues that we work for. It's basically if you want children, when you want them, how many you want, who you want them with, being able to afford them. That's what we work on here.
My goodness, that work is so important. could you speak to us a little bit about how Latinas and or the Hispanic families in Colorado are impacted by restricting their right to control their bodies?
Yes, it's really interesting. When I came to work for NARAL, I've always been pro-choice, but I wasn't really sure, like, it had been an issue that I had really, like, went to bat for. And so I worried a little bit. My family's always been supportive of the political work, but, you know, being Latina Catholic, I thought, you know, let's see how this conversation goes over. So I started speaking with my family about it. And my grandmother told me a story about how my grandmother, my great grandmother, was actually the person that people in the neighborhood went to see if they needed an abortion back in the 1930s in Denver. So there's a long history of, you know, Latinas needing this type of access. And really what we see is that the lack of access to reproductive rights usually hurts communities of color the most because they have a lack of access. They don't have that resource. And a lot of times in urban areas in Colorado, it's a lot easier to access those programs and those services. But what people don't realize is that we also have a large population of Latinos around the state. Areas like the San Luis Valley in Colorado, where they're seeing extreme poverty, extreme drug addiction down there. And not only that, they have to travel miles and miles to access healthcare, but also to access if they need abortion services or birth control. So we put up a lot of obstacles for Latinos and people of color all over the nation when it comes to accessing reproductive health care. One thing that we've been able to do in Colorado that I'm really proud of is the LARC program, and it's a long-acting reversible contraception program. We've been giving out free IUDs and long-acting reversible contraception for over 5 years now. And we've seen a reduction in abortion by 42%. We've seen a reduction in teen pregnancy by 41%. And for every dollar we spend on that program, we save $5.80. So we get a $25 million return. But we've seen this really impact Latino communities, especially in Southern Colorado, where they were able to see this as a tool. Like if you're dealing with poverty, being able to control your reproductive cycle helps. If you're dealing with drug addiction, these things help. It's really about empowering people in their communities and where they are to make their own choices.
That's just fantastic. So important. My goodness.
Justine, I think I come from a really similar background as you. I grew up Catholic, and then I was involved in evangelical Christianity, but I also grew up in California. So I've always grown up with this possibility, and a lot of Americans have the same experience, but through my time moving around and living abroad, I've lived in some different countries like Ireland that doesn't have abortion. Well, now does, but didn't when I lived there in 2010. I've lived in Thailand that has very poor sex education, and I now live in the Czech Republic. So I think a lot of our listeners and a lot of these Americans that can still vote from abroad don't always see the impact of what it would look like in a country if we didn't have like Roe v. Wade. So can you tell us where we stand right now in the Trump era as far as Roe v. Wade?
Yes, it's a very scary time now for Roe v. Wade in the Trump era. We see that the other side, the anti-choice side, is feeling very emboldened right now. They have a president who is very supportive of a lot of their actions. So we're seeing a lot of anti-choice states. People would think that in the U.S. we have great reproductive rights access across the board, but it really is state by state. So California and Colorado are some of the outliers when it comes to like having really good access. But across the country, we're doing horribly. And we're seeing a lot of these anti-choice states in a race to be the first state that gets Roe overturned. So they're working really hard right now. In fact, we're seeing a lot of those effects here in Colorado, because as we strengthen our access here, we are having people come from all over the country to access abortion services. And that puts a strain on people if they don't have the economic resources. And it really doesn't get rid of abortion. It just makes it only accessible for people with money. So in the Trump era, we're going to see a lot of people losing access in states. We're also seeing a lack of the Title X funding. They put a gag rule on that. So clinics that would refer out to abortion can no longer use Title X funding. And one of the big things that we see there that's very scary is in the U.S. we have a lot of fake pregnancy clinics, and they're ran by religious organizations, and they kind of lure people in by offering free services. But when you get there, they tell you things like, oh, if you have an abortion, you'll get breast cancer, or you increase your rate of suicide by 80% to try to discourage people. Well, what we're going to see now with the Trump administration is a move to reallocate those funds that are no longer going to be going to Planned Parenthood or any of those clinics and give them to these fake pregnancy centers, which is really a public health risk, because it really doesn't matter what your personal decision is. If you're pregnant, you need to see a doctor. So we're going to see a lot of misconceptions coming down the pipeline. And I'm really hoping that states can strengthen their rights, because right now the federal government is pretty much a dumpster fire when it comes to access.
Definitely. And before Trump was elected, I think a lot of us had this idea as well of like, there are extremes out there, but that can never happen in our country. And
absolutely.
Since the election results, we've all become aware that these extremes are potentially possible unless we do something about it. What are some of the more extreme, the more radical abortion propositions that you've seen?
So recently we've had the abortion bans in about Alabama. The really interesting thing now about these anti-choice groups is that they have a lot of infighting going on between each other. Some of them are not quite as extreme as other groups, although I think all of their ideas are extreme, in my opinion. But there's a lot of them who do not believe that there should be an exception for rape or incest, or some don't even believe the life of the mother should be an exception. So we're seeing some of these extreme bills pop up in certain places. And luckily, a lot of them have it. They have it passed. But that's how extreme the other side is at this point. They absolutely want no exceptions. So that is very alarming to us. And I think to anyone, to know that these people are that extreme in this opinion and their belief.
I wonder if I could ask a follow-up question on Roe. Many legal scholars are already predicting that Roe will fall in the near future. And I'm wondering if you're making plans for what might come afterwards. What is the post-Roe strategy if the worst happens?
Yeah. Well, so here in Colorado, we've been bracing ourselves for the idea of an overturn of Roe. And I don't think we thought of that as much of a possibility until recently, especially now. We fought very hard against Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court. We have a risk of other conservative judges being appointed. So it is very much reality. I think that here in Colorado, we're trying to brace ourselves and make sure that we strengthen our state laws. We have like no laws in Colorado for abortion. So we probably look into how we can go about making sure that we make that permanent within our state, so that we can't, even if the federal government overturns Roe, we will be able to continue to have our safety nets here. So one of the best things and biggest things that can happen is state by state, people need to really stand up and fight to create safety nets in their states to protect them from the backlash of if or when Roe is overturned.
And we can already see the right doing some of this in their religious freedom proposition. So I think it's
important that the UN today,
the left follow, take some initiative and kind of shore up legislation that would avoid that in the future.
Yeah, of course. Are there any bills in Colorado legislature and the Congress right now which could negatively impact women's rights that we should be aware of?
Yes. So Colorado makes laws for 120 days. So we have no bills up right now. We're only in legislative session from January to May. But we do have an anti-abortion ballot initiative that was just approved and out for signatures and will most likely be on our 2020 ballot here in Colorado. And it's actually a ban on abortion after 22 weeks. And a lot of people will say, oh, after 22 weeks, you should have already known that you wanted an abortion. That's too far along. The cruel thing about abortion bans after 20 weeks, this one is specifically 22 weeks. I think they did that to get around some of the medical language that they had that was accurate. But those bans usually hurt people who have a wanted pregnancy. And you get to 20 weeks, 22 weeks, and you find out there's an extreme fetal anomaly. The mother's life is at risk. A whole variety of reasons where you have to make the difficult choice to have an abortion after 22 weeks. When you ban them at 22 weeks, that means that these people, if they have the resources, have to travel to another state, have to usually pay out of pocket. And a later in pregnancy abortion is anywhere from $8,000 to $20,000, depending on, you know, the complication of the procedure. So what we're doing is we're really just making it harder for people to access the medical care they need, especially in such a trying time when you're making probably one of the most difficult choices you've had to make, and now we're putting restrictions on it. So we are seeing that here in Colorado. Fortunately for us, this will be the fourth time we've seen an anti-abortion ballot measure. And every year and every time that we've defeated them, we defeat them by a larger margin each time. So we're pretty hopeful here. But we're seeing these types of bills pop up all over the country. So we are facing that right now. We will be going full steam ahead with defeating that measure here in Colorado in 2020.
As you mentioned, and as someone who lived in a country where abortions were banned, all it does is cause people to travel. It causes a huge discrepancy in women's health care between the women that have the money to go find proper health care somewhere else and the women who don't.
Exactly.
And it causes a lot of just negative health impacts on the women that are living there. And so that's not something that we want to see in our country. But Ireland, as we know, turned it over.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Americans living abroad and listening to this, what can you tell us about how important it is that we continue to vote from overseas?
It is absolutely crucial that we have every voice on board. When we look at the numbers, majority of American choice, and what's happening is their voices are being drowned out by a very large active minority. So it's funny, one of my coworkers actually was living abroad in Australia right during the 2016 election and voting. And as soon as Trump won, she flew home to just join the fight because she was realized how vital it was that we as Americans are making sure our voices are heard so that we can push back against these things and say that we believe that abortion rights are human rights, reproductive rights are human rights. So I think it's vital that, you know, even as American living abroad, that you're always still focused on a lot of the big issues that we have in our nation that we still need your voice for.
I have a question about what we can do over here. The Democrats Abroad Global Women's Caucus is thousands of members strong, and we formed a reproductive rights action team recently, and we're really ready to help where we can. So I'm curious about what we can do. Can you tell us more about NARAL's Action Hour events, and do you think this, for example, would be something that our members around the world could participate in?
Yes, absolutely. So NARAL, there's NARAL Colorado, but we also have NARAL chapters all over the country. So it's all, if depending on like what area you want to focus in, NARAL Colorado actually has an abortion fund as well. So we have, it's called the Women's Freedom Fund. And we've been partially funding people's abortions from all over the country. So right now it's been just like those little things of action too, where we can help people where they are right now on the ground. I think that it's really important to hear the voices of people that are advocating for reproductive rights abroad, because I think there's a misconception that the U.S. has this wonderful reproductive rights access is so free, but we're really seeing it being chipped away. So I think hearing from other people who have been in other parts of the world who can share their stories and their examples so that we can really get a good grasp on what it means to provide reproductive freedom for people.
Could our members actually sign up for sponsoring some of these events, for hosting these action hours in their homes? And
yes, absolutely. We have a kit we are working on right now that we can send out to members. And it has talking points on issues, ways to get involved, to kind of do your own activism where you are. Because we're seeing the best way to get these issues through to people is one-on-one conversations with our families, with our friends, with people in our community. So if you were to go to our website, which is prochoicecolorado.org, there are ways you can sign up, and we can definitely get you one of those kits where you live. You can sponsor some of our events that we have here and stay in contact with us.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds perfect for us.
I'd also be interested in people, in our listeners, contributing to the conversation. We have a Twitter at Dems Abroad HC. That's the Hispanic Caucus group. If you guys are listening and you have experience with abortion policy in the country that you're living in, why don't you hit us up on Twitter and tell us what your experience has been and why this is an important issue for you? I also wanted to ask you, Justine, where can we follow you on Twitter? Where can we get more information about this and follow what's going on?
Sure. You can follow my personal Twitter is at Justa, J-U-S-T-A underscore J-U-S, just Just. And NARAL Colorado is also on Twitter at NARAL Colorado.
N-A-R-A-L Colorado.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have any final comments to the listeners out there, all of us expats and Americans living abroad?
I just wanted to say, as the community organizing manager, it's basically my job to go out, get people to care about these things, but also to listen to you and any suggestions. So I'm always open if anyone wants to reach out and willing to collaborate and be a resource. If you have any questions on any of these issues, I'm always happy to be there to talk to people and to build and continue moving our movement forward.
Thanks so much for joining us again. If caucus members want to go ahead and look you up, they can follow your activity. And please, for all the listeners out there, follow us on Podomatic so that you can get notifications when our new episodes go up. Thanks, Anne, for joining me on this show. And everyone out there can stay in the loop with our community in the United States and people like Justine Sandoval, who are leading the pack and making a difference in our country while we are abroad. visit the Hispanic Caucus online at democratsabroad.org/HC.
What a great discussion on women's reproductive rights with Justine Sandoval, the community and organizing manager for NARAL Pro-Choice Colorado, and Democrats Abroad members Allison, who's a leader on the Hispanic Caucus, and our friend Anne, the chair of the Global Women's Caucus. Coming up next, a quick message about voting, but an important one, from our colleague, Christine.
Hi, everyone. This is Christine Valverde of Democrats Abroad New Zealand, and I vote in Pennsylvania. There are plenty of U.S. elections coming up, and so many opportunities for absentee votes to flip seats from red to blue. If you're an American abroad, please make sure to use votefromabroad.org to have your ballot sent to you from your home state. The site also offers a Spanish language version for those Americans abroad who only speak Spanish. So make sure to tell your American friends and family abroad about this useful online tool. Thanks again for listening to another great episode brought to you by the Democrats Abroad Hispanic Caucus.